I'm Brother Tom Getz, and this is the AgeTurners.com podcast, where you can hear some fellowship about the way to be today's generation of AgeTurners. In these podcasts, we're discussing an assortment of topics related to our fleeing and pursuing the Lord with companions. Today's podcast is a fellowship and a continuation to this series. I hope you'll join us week after week and enjoy our fellowship. Today, we'd like to continue the fellowship that we started last time on the vulnerability of sin. And we feel like this is a very crucial kind of fellowship that needs a certain amount of labor. You know, I know over the last couple of years when we began to do these podcasts, we were so burdened for the young people to get on the offensive and to preach the gospel to their friends at school and to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and so many of these kinds of things. We were so burdened that we would live a kingdom life and would be on the offensive. I still recall that we had a series of podcasts on doing business until the Lord comes, and our need to invest our talent and to make a profit for the Lord. Well, while we are functioning, while we're pursuing the Lord, we have to be careful, because Satan would like to destroy us and would like to destroy every one of us who seeks and loves the Lord. So we have this series called The Vulnerability of Sin. And so we come to our second podcast on this series. You know, I also would just like to add that recently there's been a number of very good young people's conferences going on around the world. I know in South America and in Europe, even in America, there has been a number of very good conferences, even in the Far East. And the young people are always quite touched during these times and stirred up to love the Lord so much, and they often will give themselves to the Lord. Well, this is very precious to the Lord. We know that the Lord really loves the consecration of the young people, and you should never regret your consecrating yourself to the Lord. But we have to realize that when we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, sometimes this invites Satan's attack and may lead us into a kind of situation where Satan would like to cause us to fall and to have a failure. So we have this series on the vulnerability of sin, and last time we touched some verses, four verses in the New Testament that really bear this out, that we are weak, that it's easy for us to fall, that we need to flee and pursue, we need to watch and pray, we need to be sober and on alert, so many things. Well, today what we'd like to do is we'd like to come to an example in the Old Testament, and this is in Genesis chapter 4. What we have here is the, you could say, the failure or the second fall of man with the example of Cain. You know, Cain was the first child born to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were so hopeful that God would use Cain to crush the serpent. They named him, I have acquired a man, Jehovah. Cain's name implies that he was going to be the one to crush Satan's head. And they preached the gospel to him, they led him, they raised him in such a very good way to show him God's way of salvation, the way of sacrifices and offerings. And then when he grew up and it became time for him to sacrifice, he went against his parents and against God's way of salvation and tried to do something his own way. He took his own way of salvation, which was not to take the way of a sacrifice with the shedding of blood, but he wanted to offer God something that he was proud of, that he could produce. Sometimes we're tempted this way to not take God's way of worship and God's way in his economy, but to do something out of ourselves, out of our ability, out of our skill, our talents, and offer them to the Lord. And so the day started quite nice on that particular day. Both Cain and Abel were there offering sacrifices to worship God. You would think, oh, how wonderful is this day? My two sons, there they are, worshiping God. One with offering fruits and vegetables that he grew. The other was offering a lamb and shedding blood. But it says that God did not regard, had no regard for Cain's sacrifice, and that God regarded, treasured Abel's sacrifice. This caused Cain to become very jealous and angry. And so this is the point that I wanted to bring out. When we get to chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 6, God pays Cain a visit. Here Cain is, he's worshiping God, and then he gets angry. He goes right from the altar where he was sacrificing to satisfy God, and now he's in a rage. He's completely beside himself with jealousy and anger, probably because Abel's face was lifted up. He was happy. He was probably smiling and so happy because his sacrifice was regarded and accepted by God. And so there he was smiling, and Cain, his countenance had fallen. He was depressed, discouraged, and now he's in a jealous rage. He's angry to the uttermost. So God, in his kindness and in his care for Cain, he pays Cain a visit. And it says in verse 6, "And Jehovah said to Cain, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen?" In other words, what are you angry about? You know my way of salvation. You know what pleases me. Why would you be angry at your brother? Okay, but this, of course, is not our subject, is the vulnerability of sin. And then God went on to say to Cain, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, then he says this, sin is crouching at the door, and his desire is for you, but you must rule over him. Well, that's an interesting statement. Sin is crouching at the door. You may think, well, that means a failure is crouching at the door. You're about to fall. You're about to stumble. You're about to make a huge mistake. And so sin, or a failure, is crouching at the door. Actually, that name, that word sin, is referring to Satan. Satan is crouching at the door, because it goes on and says, and his desire is for you. Sin's desire is for you. He just like Peter, when he said that our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking someone to devour, this is exactly what Peter is referring to. He's referring to Cain, and that it's right at the door. It is right there all the time. And he would like to destroy you. His desire is for you. And then God went on to say, but you must rule over him. You must rule over him. That means, oh, young people, this means that God made man in his image, according to his likeness, and he said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of heaven, over the cattle, over all the earth. And then he went on, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And here is that creeping thing. And now God is telling Cain, stand up, rule over him. Watch out, be careful. Your enemy is right at the door. He's at the door. You have to stand up, rule over him, tell him no, and save yourself. This was God's word to Cain. Well, you may think, well, I can't save myself. Well, of course, we know that. But From the New Testament, we know what this means. When Paul in Ephesians 6, he says, you have to stand therefore, having your loins girded and your, you know, all the whole armor of God is on you. Three times he uses the word stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. There's that word again. Last time we talked about the devices or the schemes, the plots, the plans. Here, we have to stand against the stratagems of the devil. This is the evil plan of the devil. He's crouching at the door, and we have to be able to stand. That means rule over him. Then he goes on, for our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces in the heavenlies. And then he goes on, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we have to withstand, and we have to stand. In fighting, we have to stand to the end. You know, whoever is standing at the end is the victor. And so, young people, we have to learn how to fight. We have to learn how to stand. And like Cain, we have to be warned. Maybe God is coming to us right now. Some of us who are listening to this, and we understand. Maybe it's because of our relationship with a certain member of the opposite sex. We realize that the relationship is advancing to a point, and that now sin is crouching at the door. Satan would love to stir up our flesh, stir up our lust, and damage us, destroy us through our temper, as in the case of Cain, or through our lust. The Lord dealt with temper and lust thoroughly in Matthew when he used examples of the uplifted commandments in his sermon, what is commonly known the Sermon on the Mount or the Constitution of the Kingdom. And so, young people, I would just urge you to not be loose. Always be aware that sin is crouching at the door, and his desire is for you, but you must rule over him. How do you rule over him? Well, young people, we have a strong spirit. We have a consecration. We've already made a decision that we love the Lord and that we're for the Lord, and we have to choose him. To rule over him means to stand with our inner man and to tell Satan to go away. When Paul was talking about the vulnerability of sin, this sin that was crouching at the door with Cain is not just Satan outside of him. It's the flesh within him. And Paul, when he was speaking about this in Romans 7, verses 19 and 20, he said this, "For I do not do the good which I will." In other words, what I decide to do, I don't do that. "But the evil which I do not will, this I practice." Paul is confessing that so many times he decided to do good, but the issue was evil is what he ended up doing. That's what he practiced. And then he goes on, "But if what I do not will, this I do." In other words, what I do not decide, this is what I end up doing. It's no longer I that work it out, but sin that dwells in me. So this sin that Jehovah was speaking to Cain about, sin crouching at the door, is the sin that dwells within us. It is the fallen nature. This is why we have to flee the youthful lusts, whether it's our temper or it's our anger, or whether it's our youthful lusts, we have to flee. This is how to rule, is to flee and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, there's another portion here that I just would like to point out, and that is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And this is where Paul says, "For which cause I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to guard my deposit unto that day." What Paul is saying here, that he committed himself to the Lord, and that was Paul's deposit. It's like he took his whole life, his future, his career, his abilities, everything precious to him, and he made a deposit in the big bank of God himself. And he said, he is able to guard my deposit. This means guard what I have committed unto him. And we should know, we should realize that when we commit ourselves to the Lord and we commit our life to him, he can guard us. And he can even guard us from stumbling. In Jude verse 24, it says, "But to him who is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before his glory without blemish in exaltation." This is, there is one person, God, in the whole universe who is able to guard us from stumbling. We have to commit ourselves to him, hand everything over to him, and like Cain, we have to be very careful because sin is crouching at the door. You know, I'd like to end this time with a little testimony. When I was young, my father used to say this word to me a lot. He says, "Be careful. Sin is crouching at the door." And this word has been with me. Even now, my father is with the Lord for so many years. But still, I realize how easy it is to fall, how easy it is to have a failure. Young people, sin is crouching at the door, but we can rule over him by committing ourselves to the Lord. Well, this is all for today. Please visit our website at www.hturners.com. Or if you'd like to respond to this podcast, please email us at feedback@hturners.com. Don't forget, we are the generation that will end this age. For hturners.com, this is Brother Tom Getz.